The Southern Vermont Economic Summit resumed as an in-person gathering on Thursday, May 12th, at the Grand Summit Lodge at Mount Snow in Dover. It was held as a remote online event last year, and not at all in 2020, when it was canceled due to the arrival of the COVID emergency. The conferences, which bring together business, nonprofit organizations, local town officials, and others from Bennington and Windham counties, started in 2017. The theme of this year's conference was Cultivate Change, and the opening keynote address was given by Joe Wea, the director of the Ethiopian Community Development Council, or ECDC, and Thomas Huddleston, a leading international expert on migration, integration, and diversity, who is working with ECDC to build up the Multicultural Community Center in Brattleboro. They spoke about their work bringing Afghan and other refugees to Vermont and the contribution this is making to the state.
This is a huge challenge, and it's fantastic that rural Vermont has seen the opportunities for its economy and for its communities. That is why we as ECDC were so thrilled to come here. ECDC is the only of the 9 federal resettlement agencies that is community-based. We are Southern Vermont's multicultural community center. We want to be working, as Joe said, directly with the community, because we believe that in a rural area, your chances as a newcomer depend on how many people you know and the opportunities that they tell you about and the groups they welcome you to and the employers they introduce you to. People move forward in their lives here because they are person to person.
Housing availability and diversity were other themes frequently discussed in several of the breakout panel discussions held over the course of the day.
To really think about what does it mean to create welcoming communities and welcoming workspaces. And this is a really complex practice, right? Like, this is really complex what we're talking about when we think about what does it mean to be either welcoming people, as we've been hearing a lot about today, who are resettling into the United States, but also for the folks who've already been living here. Because we know that we have a lot of people who are experiencing marginalization in a lot of different ways across the landscape of New England who have been here for hundreds of years and whose ancestors and family members are still here.
Daniel Herriges, a senior editor and founding member of Strong Towns, a nonprofit media advocacy organization, led 2 of them, focusing on housing shortages and how towns can rethink their planning and zoning regulations to create more housing stock.
Early on in my talk, I emphasized the range of actors that benefit from the status quo, where housing costs go up and up and up, versus those who don't benefit from it, because the scales really are tilted. And they're tilted because fundamentally we've sort of decided on a deep societal level that housing is supposed to be an engine of wealth building, it's supposed to be an investment vehicle, it's an asset class for the real estate industry. And what we're seeing now is the untenability of that. We're at a crisis point where huge numbers of people cannot secure safe, decent, stable, affordable housing because it's just out of the reach. And something has to give. And so the question is, when something gives, what options are on the table? I'm optimistic about that because I think that people are resourceful. I think that, you know, Americans are entrepreneurial and improvisational. And I think that there's a growing awareness at the policy level about the need to allow that to happen. And that's taking the form of things like this growing interest in missing middle housing, which, you know, thousands of city councils are talking about missing middle housing across the U.S. And 10 years ago, it was almost zero. Many, many city councils are talking about removing their parking requirements. 10 years ago, that was almost zero. The YIMBY movement, Yes in My Backyard, is a very new development. And all these things are snowballing out of an awareness of the crisis that we're in. And what they do is they create space. They don't necessarily solve the problem overnight. They create space for the people who are going to solve the problem because they have to.
Others centered on how to create more welcoming workplaces, updated rules on ARPA funding, and preparing a business for changes and opportunities. One of the highlights of the conference has always been the introduction of this year's group of emerging young leaders. One of them was Martha Cornwell, recently elected to the Shaftesbury Select Board, and we had a chance to talk with her about that before their presentation.
It's quite an honor. Yes, I was really surprised I had someone nominate me, and put in some resume information, and it was amazing to be selected out of, I think, 57 candidates for being an emerging leader of 2022. Yes, I have never been to one of these conferences, so I'm really glad that someone had sent me a link to it. And the networking experiences have been wonderful, and lots of good tidbits of organizations to look through for both my work in the Planning Commission, but also on the Select Board as we try to figure out what to do with our ARPA funding. So it's been a great experience so far.
The conference is meant to bring together communities in Windham and Bennington counties, not only for the speeches and panel discussions, but to informally discuss issues across the Southern Vermont tier to inspire more collaboration and ways to drive economic improvement. Adam Grinold, the Executive Director of the Brattleboro Development Credit Corporation, and Jim Sullivan, the Executive Director of the Bennington County Regional Commission, gave us their takeaways on how the southern part of Vermont is faring at this stage of the COVID pandemic amid other issues like population growth.
Yeah, no, I think the main idea of the conference has always been to bring together people from across the two southernmost counties. You know, in 2015, when the legislature designated the Southern Vermont Economic Development Zone, it was because we have unique challenges. We're the furthest two counties from the seat of governance. We have population and economic declines that were really outpacing other regions. So we wanted to bring folks together. We wanted to have everybody point in the right direction, understand that we were going to assess the region's strengths, and from those strengths, build a strategic plan to grow the economy. What really we need is more people. People. People will create additional challenge, but they will also, with those people, will come the resources to solve those challenges. So we're in this situation where we have to plan our way and execute our way out without enough people in which to do it. So we need more people on our volunteer boards. We need more coaches for our little league teams. We need more people for more employment, of course. We need more people, period.
What was some of the discussion like in your ARPA workshop there, or panel discussion, or what are some of the new rules, I guess? Because it seems like there's been an evolution in some of the guidance that's been handed out, not only from the federal government, but Vermont League of Cities and Towns. Are things loosening up somewhat? Or?
Oh, it's loosened up a great deal. It's really, a lot of it's based on the final Treasury guidance that basically allows most municipalities, and certainly all the municipalities in our region, to use the ARPA funds for any governmental services that they would otherwise be providing. So there's not those kind of those narrow lanes that were originally prescribed with the ARPA funding. You still have to, you know, document the use and everything. And I think that the points that were raised in the session here at the Economic Summit over and over again was that towns and villages really should take advantage to you know, think about big picture and projects that they would not otherwise be able to do but for the availability of this once in a lifetime infusion of money. So think about things that could really transform, revitalize your community, potentially in collaboration with other communities, or using the ARPA funds to leverage other funds that might be available.
For the GNET TV News Project, I'm Andrew McKeever. Women in leadership were celebrated and honored at a luncheon held Wednesday, May 11th, at the Wilson House in East Dorset. More than 80 guests, the vast majority of them women, filled a meeting room at the Wilson House, where after introductions from Matt Harrington, the executive director of the Southwestern Vermont Chamber of Commerce, and Lori Kiley, the Vermont Regional President of Berkshire Bank, guests heard from Laura Walker, the president of Bennington College. The Southwestern Vermont Chamber of Commerce and Berkshire Bank were the organizers and chief sponsors of the event.
So when I was about 16 and I had just earned my driver's license, I picked her up from work one day, and she sat down in the passenger seat. She put her bulging kind of black purse down on the floor. She always had this bulging black purse. She turned to me and she said, "Laura, when you work, make sure you believe in the work that you're doing and the mission, that you enjoy the people you work with. You spend more time with them than with your family sometimes." And that was like, she was coming to that realization herself because she was just starting to work full time. And that those messages really stayed with me. But there was also another message there for her. You will have a career. I know you will work. And that you can shape it. You can choose what you want to do. And at the core, have it be purpose and people.
We spoke with President Walker shortly before she gave her address.
What kind of special qualities do you think women bring to positions of leadership when they break through the glass ceiling or whatever? Yeah.
I think that women bring both a real sense of experience and respect for, and you know, the details and kind of how you make something work. And they can also bring a vision of what could be. And I think it's that combination that makes women particular leaders, particularly good leaders.
Awards were also handed out. One to the Woman of the Year was given to Susan Plaisance of the Bennington Banner and Manchester Journal for her leadership and service to her organization, community, and career. Another award was for Lifetime Achievement, and that was awarded to Carolyn Blitz of Old Mill Road Media, which is based in Arlington. Kaya Kirk of Couch and Cork, the Better Bennington Corporation, and the Bennington Bookshop captured the Young Woman in Leadership Award, given to a young woman between the ages of 21 and 40 for outstanding leadership and service, and who was seen by her peers as a woman on the rise. The Wilson House, which hosted the event, handed out another award to a woman in recovery, which went to Representative Kathleen James.
I just wanted to thank you for this award. I've been thinking a lot lately about 2005, 17 years ago. That was the year I got sober. I was 41 years old, and I can honestly say that I thought my life was ending. I know now, looking back, that it was really just beginning and that a bunch of doors were about to start opening for me. And, you know, I put my life back together and found recovery one day at a time. So what I wanted to say is that this award I'm very happy to accept, not for myself, but on behalf of the millions of people and the millions of women who have found recovery and gotten sober. If I can do it, believe me, anybody can. So this is for all of us and for everybody who's ever done something hard. Thanks a lot.
We had a few opportunities to talk to some of the other guests, among them Ilsa Swoboda of the Bennington County Meals on Wheels and Patricia Burke Pedrera of the Sage Street Mill, for their comments and observations.
Well, as an entrepreneur, I'm feeling that, you know, with a long many years behind me, that things are definitely getting better. It doesn't mean that we don't have still farther to go, but I'm very grateful to be able to own my own business, and also I love to collaborate across sector with other women leaders from other disciplines and areas. And as the owner of the Sage Street Mill, I'm delighted to be working with Meals on Wheels. We just created an intergenerational arts and wellness program for youth in the community to be able to do organic gardening with elders served by Meals on Wheels in the community, and to build relationships, to have shared meals. And I'm just so delighted that to look around and to be able to find another woman leader to collaborate with, which I think when I started out in North Bennington 28 years ago, there were fewer. So I think we're moving in the right direction, and I'm glad to be part of it.
I, too, am glad to be part of you know, the women leaders of the Bennington County area. I think that more and more we see women as leaders, particularly in nonprofits or in businesses such as Patricia's. I also believe in collaborating, and I think that whether it's a woman or a man in any leadership position, I think that collaborating with the different agencies and different companies in the area is super important, and I think that that's what guides a lot of the nonprofits.
Matt Harrington, the executive director of the Southwestern Vermont Chamber of Commerce, explained how the idea for the leadership luncheon came to be.
It was just an idea that we had as a chamber for quite some time. We were trying to find the right partner. At one point, we got a call from Berkshire Bank and Lori and her team, and we were talking about all their initiatives around women in business and women leaders, and we said, hey, we got this idea. What do you think? And here we are today at the Wilson House in Dorset celebrating women in leadership, and that represents women business owners, women nonprofit leaders, leaders in the community, civic leaders, and we have a sold-out crowd. We have over 80 women in attendance today, and it just, I think it talks to the power of women coming together, supporting one another, and the need, I think, to celebrate them in their wins.
For the GNET TV News Project, I'm Andrew McKeever. Summer is almost here, so that means the time is right for summer's farmers markets to be returning. The West River Market in Londonderry will open on Saturday, May 28th, and Arlington's farmers market will return next Friday, June 3rd. Dorset's Farmers Market, held each Sunday starting at 10 a.m., is now back outside at the H.N. Williams store on Route 30. After a couple of years wrestling with restrictions imposed by COVID-19, things are looking to return to more like folks will remember from before the pandemic, said Manchester Farmers Market manager Carrie Briggs.
Well, we have a whole bunch of new vendors, which is incredible. We're finally gaining traction after a couple years of having very minimal vendors. We have quite a few new craft vendors, some new food vendors, a whole bunch of veggie vendors. It's really fun, filling up, and it's going to be so fun. So it's 3 to 6 every Thursday at Adam Park here in Manchester Center. Yeah, we have quite a few new craft vendors, some specialty items, prepared food, juice, kombucha, a whole bunch of new people. Yes, it's our first normal year. We're not spaced out. We're a couple spaces today. We have music. There's no masks required. It's just a fun, natural environment again.
And each year typically brings new vendors to the market, and this year is no exception. Courtney Callow, the owner and baker at Willoughby's, a donut restaurant in Manchester, was one of them, in her booth and looking forward to the coming summer season.
Well, I'm right down the road, so it's very quick and easy for me to get up here. And, I figured people would love to have a donut as they're browsing through the market.
So it's only been about an hour since you've been open. What's been the reaction so far?
Fantastic. It's it's nice to just come and grab one donut. You know, they're not looking to probably get a dozen or lots of donuts, but they can just go come and grab one Boston cream and be very happy.
And it's not all just food and veggies, although there are plenty of those on offer. Giftware items are also available. Lauren Cabus, the artist and owner at Vermont Macrame, was also making her first appearance at the Manchester market.
I have been doing macrame for about 5 years, and I started out with one plant, my first ever plant I got from a tag sale in Manchester, and I was like, I need to hang this up in my kitchen, because it was ivy, and it just started from there. One thing led to another, and I want everybody to have plants hanging in their house, but I use all 100% cotton. It's all eco-friendly, made from sustainable cotton. So it's actually made from leftover scraps of fabric they take from the garment industry and turn it into rope. And then I macrame with it. So if you want, you can come check out some of my, this is a wall hanging. I'm working on some plant hangers back here. I like to use funky colors and beads, plants, keychains. I do wedding decor and backdrops, favors. My most popular earrings. I have all different colors. They're very lightweight. I wear a different pair every day.
We plan to head down to Arlington next week for the opening of their farmers market at the town's recreational park. Maybe we'll see you there. For the GNET TV News Project, I'm Andrew McHugh.